Dr. Clarence Underwood is joining us today. It's great to have you with us. And, you know, right off the top, I want to congratulate you. I can't think of a person who has impacted more student athletes in our athletic department, and to have your induction into the Michigan State Sports Hall of Fame is just an incredible it's going to be an incredible honor for me to be part of that and see you join a great group of individuals that are already in.
You know, the thing is, I get very emotional about this. That's a poor boy from Alabama to come to a great institution, Michigan State University. We just fell in love with each other. It just seemed like it was magnetic. I couldn't leave here. And to be awarded Distinguished Alumni, to be as Director of Athletics, and now receive the ultimate award, going to the Hall of Fame, is overwhelming to me. And the more I think about it, the more emotional I get. And I just, it's a great honor. And I just don't have the words to explain this whole situation. But I'll tell you this, there's no man lives on an island to be successful. I had a whole lot of help here. And that's why this is a great place to be and to be recognized from. Michigan State University is a great institution.
Take us back before that love affair started, when you were in Alabama, a young man making choices about your future, choices about your life. Where did Michigan State University even come into the thought process of where Dr. Underwood would end up?
Mark, as long as I can remember, I played sports, football, baseball, and ran track from a little boy on. And I was pretty good at it, captain of my football team 3 years in a row. And when I finished high school, there were several of my friends, senior members, who had gone to different universities, primarily historical black colleges. And I know I didn't have the money to go to college, but I felt like I could also be in the situation they were in. They received scholarships, football scholarships and basketball scholarships. And so one day I was walking downtown, and I saw a friend who was 2 years older and 2 years ahead of me in school. And he asked me, he said, "Clarence, where are you going to college?" Well, I had received a small scholarship from Tuskegee Institute to run track and play baseball, not football. So I was too small to play football. I said, "I'm going to Tuskegee." He said, "Fine." So when I went, but I chose to, he said to me, he said, "You know, Clarence, I ran out of money in my sophomore year at Alabama State University. I'm going to join the military services for 2 years, and then when I leave there, I'll be rewarded a veteran scholarship. I can go to any place I want to go. You should do the same thing." And I did just that. I went into the military services as a paratrooper. And my first year there, I'll never forget it. I went in September. This is January. We had to do guard duty. You walk 4 hours and you rest 4 hours. And we were in a place, day room. So my first shift, I went out at 4 o'clock, came back at 8. The TV was on. And it was a football game on. TV was on the wall. And I saw a football game, and I saw blacks and whites playing together. I had never in my life seen blacks and whites do anything in the South that was constructive. It was always the master and the servant. And when I saw that, my eyes got bigger than a dollar. And I said, and I watched that game, and I said, when I leave the Army, I'm going to go to Michigan State University. Because what I saw in that game with a number of black athletes, profiled athletes, impact athletes, I saw hope. I saw opportunity, something I had never even imagined seeing in Alabama. And I said, I'm going to go to Michigan State University. In fact, I don't believe I ever heard of MSU before. And so when I left the Army, that's where I came, applied, and I was accepted. And it was, like I said, it was a great marriage. And I was able to get my degrees from here, to work here. And it's just been a great thing for me to be in Michigan State University.
So, Clarence, if you fast forward today and you think about a number of kids who look like you, who are in difficult situations, because I'm a first-generation college student as well, Mark, your dad was educated, but still. Yeah. an educator, but still in a community where lots of first-generation kids in your class. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to them now?
What I say to them now is they have to get a vision. And I tell the young people that everybody was born with passion. Passion is what you're supposed to do in life. It's what you love to do in life. And we all were born with that kind of opportunity, that kind of trait. And I tell them to find your passion. And the way you find your passion is not by trying to duplicate or mirror someone else, but get involved in a whole lot of different constructive activities and do your very best. And one day, if you do your best in everything you do, one day you will say, this is it. I have found my passion. But before you do that, you got to have one more thing that I would say that has come forth from the home as well as the individual, him or herself. You have to have discipline. You have to be able to put first things first and get that done and stick with it and don't give up and finish it. And when you finish whatever activity you are involved in, whether it's positive or negative for you, that's at least school stuff, whether you don't like math, you don't like science, go through it. Because at the end, you're going to learn something. You're going to meet some new friends you never met before. You're going to learn more math that you never knew before. Go through it, and every bit you learn will help you to in the next course you're involved in. So discipline is a major, major thing that we need in society, young people need in order to be successful.
So how do you see, you know, that connecting to sport now and the value of sport?
The difference is today, Dr. Simon and Mark, is that years ago, as a boy growing up in Alabama or anywhere, we didn't really prepare for sports. Sports just came natural. It's an opportunity you were involved in. You liked it. You got involved in sports, football or basketball or track, whatever it might have been, baseball. You played because you liked it. Today is a whole different atmosphere about sports. Today, young people are training, preparing to be a professional athlete, preparing to be going to college and play football, get a scholarship. That's the difference. So I think that what is happening is that their young people and their parents are preparing them to go to college on a scholarship, hopefully, and then look beyond college to the pros. So it's not any more a sort of haphazard thing where you go out and just play and enjoy. No, it is for a purpose. And I think that is good for college athletics. Because what you're getting out in the end is a product. You're getting a better person coming to school athletically who have been prepared and who has people have hope in them to hope that they will succeed in college. So I think all of that, and that instills the discipline. You've got to have a discipline in order to stay in football for at least 4 or 5 years to prepare to go to college. And that's where I think discipline, all those other qualities we need to be successful, come into the play.
I believe that the sooner you can become you is a strong trait for any young person. We all bring our history and our background with us. But when you talk about parental guidance, you talk about coaches, teachers, what we're all striving to do is make an individual a strong individual so they can be part of a collective team. And for me, that's what sport does, is it brings strong individuals together, whether they're participants, fans. They have to put their phones down when they play or participate, or we hope they do. But it's developing strong individuals that can become independent, not separate themselves from the background, but become independent, but part of a very strong collective team. And that's what I've watched you at the Big Ten. I've watched you here, and I've watched you after you've moved on from the athletic department. You continue to instill that strong individual drive in people, but ensure that they're still part of a very vibrant team.
Mark, I can't tell you that I've always been that way, but I have to, as you were talking, something came to mind that was significant to me and is now that I need to share. I remember when I was 13 years of age, living in a household with 11 children and parents. My father was the only one working. And in the summertime, that 13th year, my mother would ask me to carry my father's lunch to him. And that was about a mile and a half walking to his place. He worked in a lumber company in a sawmill. He was a fireman. He shoveled sawdust and coal into a furnace that transmitted heat to another segment of that place that would dry wet lumber that could be used for commercial purposes. I mean, you can imagine when I got there, my father would say to me, "Boy, I want you to stay and help me work." All of my friends were swimming in the creek, playing sports in the streets, on somebody's porch playing cards, and there I was in a hot furnace working. I hated it. I mean, I hated it. And every time I went every day, my father said, "I want you to help me work." Well, all I could think about were my friends having a great time, and here I am. I did not realize what my mother and my father was trying to teach me until I went into the military services after high school. Because what I experienced then at sawmill was the same thing, similar things I saw in the military services. It was hard work, long hours. It taught you discipline. And so what he was saying to me is that work comes before pleasure. Clarence, hard work does not hurt you. And you got to have discipline to do anything in life. I saw so many of my colleagues and my friends in the Army get in trouble because they had no discipline. They would go downtown, couldn't get back on time. They couldn't get up in the morning in order to make reveille and all those things. So I thank my father. And when I came to Michigan State University, first time I came, they had me be involved in the Breslin Center, but it didn't materialize because they were going to use student fees for that, and it didn't materialize. So I worked for the Michigan Department of Education, and it brought me back in 1972 to be the assistant director in charge of student athlete support services. Here again, that was a hard job. Long hours, hard work, required discipline. And all those things sort of manifest in me. And that's what I try to instill into young people that I talk to about their personal conduct, about their ambition to be successful in life. You got to work hard. And you got to have some discipline to put first things first and follow it through.
Clarence, you're now interacting with students who want to come to Michigan State. And students who are out around the state, mostly in urban areas, who are trying to figure out what to do with their lives. How do you talk with them about dreaming bigger dreams?
I always start with trying to help them to identify what their passion might be. And I tell them that today, in today's society, that you just can't go to finish high school and then go get a job someplace because those jobs are not existent today anymore to sustain you for the rest of your life. And you just can't go and get a job or get finish college and then hope to be successful in life. Some people will, but most of them will not. You got to strive. You got to do all you can to be what you are. You got so many things inside of you that you need to accomplish and to really perfect. And so I tell them to think big. Think big. Don't just think about what locally you've seen, but go beyond that and see and use your ultimate gift that you have received and develop yourself. But I ask them to use role models. Try to look at role models that you think are somebody really special and doing something in life worthwhile. And I think if you keep doing that and follow the advice of your parents and your teachers, I think you'll get somewhere in life.
On Thursday, September 28th, you're going to be standing on a stage at the Wharton Center. You're going to be flanked by Joe Baum, Bob Appisa, Bob Castleman, and Kristen Haney. There's going to be a group of about 200 current student-athletes wearing their letter jackets that are going to be listening to your words. You're then on Saturday going to be standing in front of 75,000 and a TV audience being inducted into the MSU Hall of Fame. Separate from your family, give me three people that are going to come to your mind that have impacted, influenced, and made a difference. And I'm sorry that I'm limiting you to three.
That's okay. I think that's wonderful. I have to go back to elementary school. My elementary school principal was a man. that I really truly admired the way he dressed, the way he talked, the way he did things, the integrity he had. I admired that man. Then number two, I suppose, would be the person sitting across from you, me right now. I met this woman, Dr. Simon, years ago when I came here and when I first worked in athletics. She was innovative. I remember her getting involved in Title IX and women athletics when we didn't have a program. And she was spent her time, gave us time to think about that and to interact together and use her thoughts. And we commingled in all these things together. She was a leader. And she was the leader of our group. She wasn't in athletics as a person, but she came from administration and had more knowledge by athletics than most of us did. And I had a lot of knowledge about athletics, but she was right there with us. And not only, I'll never forget this, how she spearheaded this whole thing about Title IX and got us moving. And by the way, let me just say this, and I'll give you the third person. I would say that the biggest thing I have seen in sports since the time I got involved, little boy, until the current time, and I'm 80 years of age, a little older, was the development of women athletics. There's nothing that's new in athletics other than the fact that the development of women athletics has grown and developed. And we had Dr. Simon to spearhead that here. She didn't take credit for it, didn't want to take credit. She's working in institutional management, but she had a tremendous amount of knowledge. And so that really has stuck with me for all these years. And I'm not saying just because she's here. I've said that many times to many people, that how much she has done. And the third person I would say that has been instrumental, you said besides my family, right?
Right.
Okay, besides.
That would be too easy.
Well, the third person is probably a man I didn't have a lot of contact with. But this man reached out to me when I didn't even know him. I knew his name, and I tell you, this guy made an impact on me. When I worked for the Big Ten Conference office, this guy called me before I left Mississippi State. He said, I want to tell you that I wish you would stay here, but you're going to some place, and let me tell you this. He says, you know, you got a lot to offer. And he said, I want you to do your very best in the Big Ten office. And if you need some help in any way, take this phone number down. And I want you to call this person if I can help you. And that person was Dr. Hanna. And I never forget that guy. He just reached out to me, and I have never forgotten the help that he gave me that time.
A great collection of people.
Yeah, thank you.
We're all changed by those that were around, right?
No question about it.
Well, Clarence, it's really been such an honor to have your friendship, your wisdom. You're so humble. Because you're one of those people who has really been so thoughtful about not only sport, but people in sport and how sport can make people better. And we're just so proud to have you as a Spartan.
Well, I don't know why I came here as Mark asked me that question, but all I know is I was led to a place that has made me what I am and a place I really love, will always love. I have met some great people along the way. Mark, including you, you're a great man. You've done so much for athletics and been innovative and so many different things. You and I work very well together in athletics. And even before then, when you worked before you came to Department of Athletics, I know your name. So I couldn't ask for any more. I could not have met better people. I could not have gotten more help than what I received at MSU. It's been a great fit for me, and I'm just happy today to be honored by the thought of being into the Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Clarence.
Thanks, Clarence.
Thank you.